Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hi, everyone. Hi, Shannon.
Hello.
How you doing?
Fine.
Good. Great. Stoked for the pod today?
Oh, yeah. So stoked.
It's going to be amazing, I think. I don't know. Could be. Hi, everyone. How are you? It's so nice to be with you today. Happy Wednesday for listening to this on podcast release day. Happy Friday.
Whatever the heck day you're listening
to. Happy Friday or Saturday if you're listening, because I, in the future, posted about weekend listening. Who knows?
Well, and maybe someone's like listening this like in the year 2020, and who knows even what day it's. I mean, people binge in reverse sometimes.
Maybe someone's finding this in like a time capsule from the future in the year like 2300.
Possible.
If so, hello, space friends.
My gosh.
So new listeners, perhaps from the future, perhaps in space, welcome. Nice to have you. And new supporters, hi. We had some new supporters this week.
Yay, thank you.
We had a new supporter from Astoria, New York this week.
Woohoo!
It's always just exciting when we have like a more far-flung one, you know?
Exotic.
It's exotic, yeah. Okay. Astoria, where is that? It's like Queens. But it's great, you know? It's very exciting. Very cool. Yeah. Shout out to Astoria. And hey, people, by the way, if you love the Misfit Stars podcast, please take a second and rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. That would actually really help us. We're doing a push for that right now. We're going to be mentioning it for a while. And we very much want for you.
Gross.
I had some gum in my mouth and I like tried to get it out mid-talking and Shannon was not impressed.
And it looked like a cat coughing up a hairball.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Cool.
Disgusting.
All right. We're going to leave this in. So... please rate and review. Go to Apple Podcasts. Just take a moment, search for Misfit Stars, leave a glowing 5-star review. That'd be awesome. It would help more people find this high quality podcast.
Where else do you get reenactments of cat hairballs?
Yeah.
On microphones.
Yeah, Misfit Stars.
You can count on us.
Yep.
Thank you so much, those of you who have reviewed and those who will go to review. And thank you so much to all of our supporters, new ones and those who have been with us for a long time. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate you. This is a member-supported podcast, which means that this thing stays up and running because of the support of our members. You notice that you don't hear any ads on this podcast.
No.
It is made possible by the people who have said, hey, you know what? I really like this podcast. It brings some good things into my life and it means something to me and I want to be part of helping sustain it. And so they have gone to misfitstars.com/join and they have signed up and it was really easy. And now their monthly contribution helps us keep this thing running. So thank you to those of you who've done that. And those of you who heard that were like, oh man, that sounds like me.
Yeah. Perhaps
I could do that.
Perhaps you're one of the people who's been listening to this podcast since the very first day we did one of them, 51 episodes ago.
Whoa.
Today's episode is 51, so I guess 50 episodes ago.
Yeah.
And maybe you have been a listener the entire time, but have never become a supporting member.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you've been listening for 5 weeks, 10 weeks. I don't know, somewhere between 1 and 50, really. Mm-hmm. And in that time, you've come to love it, but you've not become a supporting member, well, maybe now's the time to do that.
It would be a great time to do that.
Thanks in advance.
You'll be getting in, if you do it this week, you'll be getting in on year one because next week will be our first anniversary of the beginning of this podcast.
That's so wild.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Forcing me to contemplate serious podcast-related questions in my life, like, are we going to do season 02, episode 01?
This is just your like labeling for your files.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
These are big, big, important questions.
They are big, important questions. And I have to make a decision in the next 6.5 days. Oh, no.
We should brainstorm some fun first year celebration type topics and such for next week. Maybe we can get some involvement from our Misfit Stars group on Facebook.
Sure.
About like favorite moments from the last year or something like that. Brainstorming here in real time.
Yeah, it's good.
By the way,
good question to ask a group of people always. What do you like about us?
No,
and what over the last year have you liked the most about us?
That's not what I was saying. That's not at all what I was saying. They're listening clearly because they like to listen. No
yeah.
one's like twisting their arm to listen to this thing.
What did you guys do that we loved?
What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
What did
about.
We do that you guys loved? I said it wrong.
Yeah, you did. Anyway.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Anyway, next week is our first anniversary. And by the way, when you become a member of Misfit Stars, you get to be part of that Facebook group
yeah.
online. It's a private Facebook group just for people who are Misfit Stars. So We'll just put some questions into that group and see what we can come up with for our first year anniversary celebration.
By the way, like, if you are like, wait, what? Secret Facebook group? We have a secret Facebook group.
Private, not secret.
Oh, that's true.
It's not secret.
Because we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a private Facebook group. You can't just come in. You have to be invited. And the mechanism for getting an invite is you become a supporting member. And then once you're in there, like, we talk about all kinds of secret squirrel stuff. Mostly it's just, like, really supportive and nurturing and nice.
Yeah.
Not a complete hellhole like the rest of the internet. It's great.
Right.
Yeah. The bastion of sanity in an insane world.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes. Most of the time.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode today because we've been running around getting ready for a house guest that we have for the remainder of this week.
We have a musical house guest.
Very excited about. We can talk about it in a minute. But
what did we get into this week?
What are you doing this week?
A lot of work, really, in the best of all possible ways. I finished the Zachman EP.
It's so good. It sounds really good.
It came out awesome. I was just super thrilled about it. I pushed Johnny. Johnny Zachman is the guy who this band is named for. It's sort of his band, you know, like a one-person band, essentially. But he has a whole band for playing live, and there's a couple other people playing on the record, mostly just me and him, mostly him. And I pushed him really hard in the production of this record. Like, I really, like, I pushed him into some slightly avant-garde places that he, like, to his vast credit, like, really engaged with and went to. And I think it turned out really, really, really cool. There's some tense stuff on this record. Like, it really became clear to me that this little body of work is, like, it's the record, the EP is going to be called Patterns. And it strikes me that it's going to be called that because it's about bad patterns of engaging with other human beings. You know?
All bad?
Yeah, like relationship stuff, that kind of thing. Yeah, all bad. There's not any, like, things are working out great songs on this EP.
So it's uplifting.
Well, sometimes it kind of is. There's definitely moments of, like, really, like, I don't know, like, dark humor, you know, which is really cool.
No, I think it's an honest record, and it's really fun to listen to. Like, it was a really fun project to have, like, being worked on in the house where I exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds really good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was really proud of the work we did. It's really cool. Stoked for people to hear it. And then I immediately started mixing a first thing for this band from up by Seattle called Together Collective.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working on that for the past few days, and that's been cool. It's, again, sort of a driven by one person band project. Mm. It's a friend of ours, a new friend over from the last couple of years named Jeremy McRae.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Quinn McRae, and I think he goes by Quinn for his music stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And his band is really cool. To my ears, it's sort of like a Tedeschi Trucks kind of thing. I don't know if it's Tedeschi or Tedeschi. You say that our friend Jackie pronounces it Tedeschi, and I trust that.
I think so.
It's one of those words that I've only ever, like, really seen written, and I don't know if I've ever really heard. Like, I'm sure Jackie mentioned it. Anyway, digression. Point being, that band, it's that kind of thing, like a bluesy feel, kind of, you know, rootsy bluesy. And it's great. And there's, like, you know, a funky bass player in there. And it's just cool. It's just fun, rootsy music.
It's really, a positive message, too. Like, the lyrics that I've heard. Like, just really, like, humanity-centered lyrics.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. Super, super uplifting, super positive. Almost, like, kind of a hippie-ish vibe in that way, you know? It's really funny. Like, if you had told me that, like 25 years ago when I was, you know, like, in my early 20s, that I would be working on, A, at all, and B, very much enjoying working on sort of, like, rootsy, bluesy music with, like, a sort of hippie-ish vibe, like, lyrically speaking, I would have been like, get out of here. I will never do that. I am only hardcore. I only like wearing black music. I will be working on goth music. But, you know, something I really realized is that, like, I come from more of a punk kind of background.
Mm-hmm.
An insight I had just in my personal life a number of years ago is that as much as hippies might be annoying sometimes to punk people, we're on the same team.
Yeah, well, also, like, you probably have just grown up a lot since then because, like, good music is good music. And you work on a lot of stuff that is not anywhere close to people wearing all black music.
That's
like,
true.
Most of the stuff you work on, you know, I mean, my music isn't that.
That's true. I try to make it be more that.
The folk record you made last spring wasn't that.
I know.
The country Americana record you made the year before. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you work on that's not.
I think now I just bring a wearing black perspective to a diversity of genres.
Okay.
And I think that's good.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. But good music is good music. And that there's joy in that, you know, like,
and this is that,
all kinds of things. Yeah.
Jeremy's a hell of a guitar player. There's a lot of tasty playing on this song. It's really cool. And this is kind of a proof of concept, you know, and we'll just see. It's entirely possible that he might be like, yeah, you know, don't like it. Don't like what you did. Thank you, you know, which would be okay. I get that, you know, but maybe he will like it and we'll just have to see. I'm excited.
Maybe we'll get to work on more of it.
Yeah, that'll be lovely.
Very cool.
It's good stuff.
I have not, I've been hearing the music that you're working on because it's impossible not to hear it when you're working in speakers in our house. But I have been elsewhere in the house doing home improvement projects for the last week. Like, I've been a painting machine.
Shanna's been in the basement being sketchy.
I've been doing sketchy painting in the basement. I painted all of our doors.
Exterior.
All of our exterior doors.
There are three.
Like a scarlet.
Scarlet.
Scarlet, pinky red.
Yeah. Like, not really red, scarlet. It's great. It's so good.
Wonderful. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's very cheerful. And I'm really glad I got it in before. Like, today's like one of the very first really gray days we've had here. And to be able to like look out our back window to the garage door and to see this pop of pink out there.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
That's like, one of the three exterior doors, people, because not everyone knows our house, right? Our house has like a front door and a side door. Those are the two. And the third exterior door is the one that lets us into the garage, which is on the other side of our backyard.
Yeah. So I can see that one.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
And I can see it out my studio window. Oh my God. Excuse me. I'm dying.
please don't die.
Okay. I'm better.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can see it out your studio window. It's just a fun like ray of sunshine.
It's wonderful. It puts me in this mind that color is really helpful in the Pacific Northwest.
Totally. I wonder if that's why there are so many colorful buildings around, you know, it must be.
Like the garage, my experience of looking at our garage, which we've been looking at now for like a month and a half shy of 2 years, is dramatically elevated with this pop of scarlet.
Totally.
You can probably see it right from where you're sitting right now.
I can. I love it.
Oh, it's great. I'm going to stand up and take a peek. Oh, look at that. It's beautiful. I love it.
So I've been painting. I'm figuring out new things that I can just like get my hands in and do. I'm in the mood right now to do things that feel productive, but I'm not yet ready to start creating anything new yet.
Yeah.
So like doing the mindless work of like painting, sanding, you know, like just working on stuff. I can feel like I'm doing something that's worthwhile. I'm not just sitting around on my duff, but like, you know.
I'm so glad you had this insight.
Well, and all the while, even if I'm like listening to podcasts or something while I'm working, like this is time, like when my brain can kind of be just half engaged in this like an activity I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's also half engaged in thinking about stuff that like what matters to me right now. When I write the songs for next year's record, you know, I'm gonna need to know what it is that is really moving me right now. That's like. What matters most right now? What feels like essential to write about this year?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really need time to be able to think about those things. And like a lot of times those things kind of come to the surface in my brain when my brain is half engaged in some other productive activity, you know, that doesn't require lots of thinking.
Yeah.
So it's been great. It's been really good.
And I really love that like it's... Like, I kind of felt some pressure at the beginning when you're like, because Shanna was talking about painting stuff like a month ago, and I was like, and I did not want to, that's just not where I'm at. I'm not anti. I do lots of house projects. I did a couple this week. That's something else we did this week. I got way the hell up on a ladder, and I replaced an exterior motion light.
Very you know? Exciting content.
It was very exciting content for me. I don't know. It looks nice. It works well.
It does.
But so I'm not like averse to home projects, but like where I'm at in my life right now is just a really different place than where you're at. You know, I want to be creative. I want to be working on music right now.
Absolutely.
And I've had all this stuff piling up over the summer. I came home with like five projects on my plate.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great.
And I'm just excited to dive in. I'm excited for my creative season. And that's what this is.
Absolutely.
You know, and the idea that's like, well, shit, Shanna wants to do painting. I don't want to do that. I want to do music. And for it to realize, for both of us to realize that that's okay and that we can do just different things.
Yeah, P.S. I love being around you, but like our lives are structured so that we're like very rarely not in the same room. Mm-hmm. And it's actually been kind of nice to not be in the same room as you.
Oh, yeah, totally.
For a little while.
The best thing that happened just last week is that Shannon had like a long... She went on a trip. We're going to talk about that. Like a little evening field trip with our dear friend and neighbor, Courtney. And I had like 6 hours by myself to do music.
Isn't that glorious?
That was the best.
Hours by yourself.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
It was good. For a moment, I didn't quite know who I was. It came dinner time. I'm like, shit, what do I do? How do I do this?
Who am I?
Yeah. But it worked out great.
Yeah. No, it's been like, and when we come together for like meals, I actually have stuff to tell you to share with you that I experienced that you did not experience in the same moment I experienced. Yeah. Like normal people. Yeah. We have stuff to talk about.
Like normal people. We've come together over dinner and the wife is like, so I was painting again.
What? No. I don't know how your brain works. Of course, I'm not going to talk about how I'm painting. Stuff that I'm listening to on my podcast. Things yeah. I've learned.
I'm just being very silly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What else? We saw a great movie this week.
Yeah.
We see movies from time to time. This one felt like it was good enough to actually mention on the podcast. And mm-hmm. if you have an opportunity to see it, go see it. It's a movie from South Korea called Parasite.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably, I mean, walking out of the theater, just like thinking about what we saw, the experience we had, like I feel confident in saying that it's probably one of the best, if not like the best movie I've seen in the last many years.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good. The script is very original. The characters are so...
three-dimensional.
Oh, just, yeah. Like, you feel what they're feeling with them. Like, so well-written.
They're not... it's weird, right? Because, like, on paper, these characters might not be sympathetic, you know?
Right.
And if it were less ably handled, they would not be sympathetic.
Right.
But they are, because they're engaged in some, like, just sketchy behavior.
Right.
But, like, their humanity and the reasons why they're doing the things they're doing are presented in such a way that, like, you take them on board as your own feelings about the situation.
Yeah, you've got compassion for the characters from the get-go.
You're almost a co-conspirator in their sketchy criminal schemes.
And you kind of, like, want them to succeed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's just, the movie was, it's intense. I felt like there was this like underpinning of tension the entire time. But also it was funny. Like even in the funny parts, there was still this growing tension. Cause like things,
oh my gosh,
you can see how things are going to go off the rails.
Yeah.
And you don't want it to, but you know it has to. And like, it's just really, really good.
The score is amazing.
The cinematography, beautiful, just beautiful shots. Like, mm-hmm. so we're oohing and aahing over this movie. It was just really, I hope it gets awards. I hope it does like really well. It's a really great movie.
It's all it's in Korean too. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. and there's subtitles, which is wonderful because you kind of get to experience an entirely different world for a couple of hours.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And it's also, I mean, it takes place in South Korea too. So
right.
like,
in Seoul.
It's not like just every other movie you see, which is LA.
Right. Thank God.
Or occasionally Georgia. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's wonderful. It looks just unique to my untrained American eyes.
It was great.
It was really, really cool.
So if you get
cool.
a chance to, go see Parasite. Very good movie. So there's that. And then, the big outing of my week last week was I went to Seattle with, this is when you had your 6 hours of alone time.
Yeah. Remember?
So I went
to... Oh, so good. One day.
I could leave again tonight if you want.
You couldn't. We have a house guest.
It's so true. Yeah. So anyway, I went to with our friend Courtney up to Seattle. She invited me a while back when she got tickets to see a lecture by Anita Hill at Washington at UW in Seattle. And so we went up last week to see Anita Hill speak, and we had dinner beforehand, and it was just lovely. I've been wanting to have some one-on-one woman-to-woman time with our friend Courtney for a long time.
Yeah.
So it was really great to be able to do that. And I mean, because she's our neighbor, she's our friend. We won the neighbor lottery.
Yeah.
Like up and down these streets, we've won the neighbor lottery left and right. It's so cool. Anyway, so we had a great time hanging out. And then we got to this big theater where Anita Hill was going to be speaking. And a representative from the university came out to introduced the whole evening, and she was going to introduce the introducer. They had like an official like a person to introduce Anita Hill.
Yeah.
So she came out to introduce the introducer, and the introducer was a special, like it was a surprise to everybody in the room. Dr. Christine Blasey Ford.
Whoa!
Came to introduce Anita Hill, which was just such a really, you know, remarkable moment. Like everybody immediately leapt to their feet and gave her a standing ovation.
That's
there
great.
Was hooting and hollering and cheering, and
her life must have just been absolute hell for the last year.
I can't even imagine, because I've been thinking about her a lot lately, because this has been sort of like the year-ish, a little over a year anniversary since the confirmation hearings where she testified
really,
about
it seems
her sexual
like
assault
a thousand years.
Think about this. This woman testified about a sexual assault she experienced in front of not just the Senate Judiciary Committee, but all the cameras and the entire
hundreds of millions of people.
How many of us were watching her talk about her sexual assault?
Yeah.
And I was moved.
At the hands of this sneering, domineering person.
Yeah. Yeah. And sort of the brotherhood of people who were wanting to give him a pass, who gave him a pass.
Yeah.
Who basically said, your story doesn't matter, the sexual assault doesn't matter, that this person committed this act against you doesn't matter, we're still going to make him a lifetime Supreme Court justice.
And did that.
What the hell?
Got away with it.
I don't really want to focus on that part of it. What I really was struck by in my experience last week and also what I was struck by last year when she was testifying was just the sheer courage that she had. And 30 years ago, it's coming up on 30 years ago that Anita Hill sat before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Wild.
And talked about her sexual harassment.
We were still in high school.
Yet another potential Supreme Court justice, had committed against her. And it was a long. I remember talking about this in my high school government class, my senior year of high school. You know, it was fresh in the news, and I don't think I had any understanding at that time what the implications of that were. And I think about how Dr. Christine Blasey Ford was treated a year ago, and then rewind the clock 30 years.
Yeah,
and all of the, advancements we've made in terms of sexism and sexual harassment and sexual assault in the last three decades.
Really felt like this one might be different, huh?
Well, what I was thinking was that, as much courage as it required for Dr. Blasey Ford to get up there last year, just think about doing that three decades prior.
Sure.
In an environment where
much harder.
Whatever advancements we've made in the last three decades didn't exist.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't understand at the time the implications of the amount of courage that Anita Hill had to muster to do what she did.
Yep.
And to speak out. It was really quite moving.
So what all did she talk about? What was her talk like?
Well, she's a lawyer. She's gone on to get her PhD, so she's now Dr. Anita Hill.
Dr. Lawyer.
When she was thrust into the national spotlight, by the way, I don't believe that she, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe you remember the history better than I do. I don't think that she sought out the opportunity to talk about this. I think that that her experience with sexual harassment came up as a result of some of the investigations into Clarence Thomas before. I don't think she was me, sign me up. I want to testify. I think she was kind of thrust into it.
Man, I was 17. I was not paying attention. I don't know.
I don't think that it was something that she really pursued, but she was willing to do.
Yeah. Like people doing their due diligence found out about her and asked her if she would testify, and she did. Is that idea?
Yeah. And I mean,
that resonates for me too.
I hope I'm not getting this wrong. But
we're putting this on the internet. Surely someone will correct us.
Hopefully. But, my point though is that she didn't expect to spend her life doing work against sexism and sexual harassment and sexual violence. But she has spent the last 30 years, because of her very unique and public position, from those confirmation hearings 30 years ago,
she has turned
that into a her life's work.
That's amazing.
And use that experience, which is just, on its own, there are so many experiences that we all have, right? That are difficult for us, or that we wish hadn't happened, or wish had happened differently. And, I think it's an example of, turning those moments into something that benefits the world or that benefits others.
Yeah.
It can be a really healing thing, I think.
Karmic purification.
Sure. And so to see that she turned that moment into the work that she's done, and she's been on, numbers of commissions, of organizations trying to figure out how to handle sexism and how to handle sexism better, how to root it out, how to you know, create cultures within these organizations that don't allow for sexual harassment, or that protect people who have, you know, have traditionally been victims of sexual harassment.
Are we talking about like sitting on corporate boards and dealing with corporations' response to this kind of stuff, or what?
You know, various entities. Like currently she is part of a group of people in Hollywood who have banded together to address how to handle sexual violence. Hmm. That we've seen, you know, in Hollywood. And she's the first person to say, and she mentioned this in her lecture last week, that, you know, the visible cases are the, you know, the victims of the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, right? Like those are the visible cases. They're the ones that are on all the magazines.
Surely
like
the tip of the iceberg.
Sexy to talk about. But what's not talked about on the front of magazine covers in the grocery store are working people, mostly women, but also men, who are, you know, victims of sexual violence every single day.
Sure.
You know, housekeepers, people in offices, you know, like just from every strata of society.
Sure.
This is a problem that exists because it's a problem of power.
Yeah.
Right? The sexual violence, sexual harassment, and sexism itself is all a measure of one group of people or one type of person attempting to exert and maintain power over other types of people in groups of people.
Yeah, sure. You know? So we have a couple of new neighbors. Mm-hmm. We mentioned this on the podcast before. And so they're both like badass electricians, like master level electricians or whatever the technical term for it is. And they're, you know, the husband and wife team.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both used to work for, they both have union experience, but Elena, the wife of the pair, won't work for unions anymore because her experience with sexism in the unions was so dramatic and so terrible. And indeed, she and Joe are working for the same company.
Mm-hmm.
Up until about 3 months ago, I think,
mm-hmm.
the company, the owner sold it to a much bigger concern that's unionized. And so the company is going to get folded into this unionized thing. Elena quit. She's like, I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing union again. Her experience with sexism in that was that bad.
So you're not disparaging unions by saying this. Like, that's not
no.
the point. It's just like that in this particular union that this is a big issue.
I think that unions in general for women can be really bad. There are obviously some exceptions. Like we were talking with someone the other day whose daughter has just started at age like 19 in an electrical union in Portland. And so far it's going okay for her. In those terms. And so that's great. What I have heard from talking with a lot of people is that like union experiences can be still not amazing for
women. Is the difference that you're trying to make here that like if you're not working in a union job, you're probably in a more like mom and pop small organization where relationships might have a chance to be healthier? Is that the difference?
That like, can be part of a dynamic there, I think. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Because I have a hard time understanding why it being union is the thing that makes it a problem.
That's weird. The way Joe explained it to me is that the whole way that unions work is by having a tremendous labor pool, like readily available labor is the phrase that he used with me, right?
Okay.
And so they don't just take the top 15% best people. They take everybody,
okay.
Right? Meaning that you don't have like a more rarefied, like better group of people because mm-hmm. as people get smarter, they tend not to do stuff like be sexist and horrible, right? Not always.
Well,
but like playing the averages. I mean, I'm just relating to him.
Sure, but we have Supreme Court justices who are pretty smart people who are sexist and horrible.
Yeah, 22% like, of them, yeah.
Yeah, I would...
Yeah, fair.
I just want to push back on that idea.
That's fine. But what he was saying to me is that as you kind of get these larger labor pools, you get a lot of people sort of more toward the bottom of that pool who are really pretty uneducated and have some pretty unrefined views about things, about people of color, about gay people, about, you know, LGBTQ people in general, about women,
mm-hmm.
right? And they just act in all the ways that you might imagine someone with like really coarse views like that might act. And so toward women, they act really sexist. Toward black people, they act racist, you know, whatever. And I think that because the labor pool, the way he explained it to me is because the labor pool for a lot of unions is much larger and they take like a lot, kind of anyone they can get, like
mm-hmm.
they have a lot more of those kind of problems.
Maybe a smaller,
culturally inside the
so
unions.
So maybe a smaller shop would have an opportunity if you're hiring people to like evaluate someone's character more when
you're
hiring.
Be pickier. Yeah, totally.
But I have to push back again on that. Like, just because someone's uneducated doesn't mean that they're not racist, sexist, homophobic, and even like...
Just because you're educated doesn't mean
that's
not.
What I mean. Yeah, like that, mm-hmm. that. I don't think education has a whole lot to do with it. Like those are... You can learn things with education that maybe change your mind, but that's a character issue. And like we've seen, you know, sort of people that we would have, you know, a few years back, you know, would have never labeled them as being racist or sexist. Like people are a whole lot more open about their terrible, horrible views, even really educated, successful people. Like
it's really true.
It's not limited to just uneducated folks.
True.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Totally true.
So
I'd be interested to see numbers. I mean, as far as like antisocial views like versus education. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's some kind of correlation. I would doubt that it goes as far as being causational, but you've got to imagine.
Well, they are antisocial views. That's an interesting way to describe them. But again, all those things go back to power. So if somebody is just really interested and very invested in maintaining power for the kind of people that look like they do, then it isn't like they can be really shrewd in applying racism, sexism, bigotry mm-hmm. to maintain power for their group of people.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's not necessarily antisocial. I mean, it is. That's a great descriptor. But again, when you look at it through the lens of maintaining power, then
or trying to get a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. which I think can explain why people sort of toward the lower end of like the social spectrum,
like the economic spectrum. You mean?
Or? Yeah, yeah. But it's funny when I say social spectrum, I think about like just it's a hard idea to tease apart. More antisocial people, right? That's what I kind of mean. Like people who have views like that, maybe part of the reason they have those views is because they don't feel like they've had a lot of power in their lives. And I don't think any of this would be explicit, something they've thought about. But I've got to imagine that people who don't feel like they've ever had very much in their lives, that could be a reason why they try to just latch on to small, cheap, easy, quick ways to try to feel more powerful in the moment, right? Mm. Because like when you're putting someone else down, you're doing that because it temporarily makes you feel like you're above them, like you have power over them, you know?
Right.
So if you're saying something sexist to a woman, well, you know, you might be like really, really, really low down in life or in your job or wherever, but at least you're not as low as the woman you're currently putting down. And that's a way to get some power for yourself temporarily in a really small way. Right. Is any of this making sense?
Yeah.
It's hard stuff to think about. I'm trying to articulate it as well as I can.
Yeah. No, I think it does make sense. I think in one sense, when you think about it that way, you can kind of have compassion for a person a little bit, but then also that's not even close to an excuse for treating another human being in a dehumanizing way.
Understanding and feeling compassion for it can be different.
Yeah.
I think understanding people is useful, you know?
Sure.
And like... I can feel, you know, in some ways empathetic. I'm sure that I know introspecting into like past versions of myself that I have had times in my life where I have felt insecure and I have acted like an asshole to someone as a means of trying to feel better about myself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is that good behavior? No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Can I still be empathetic toward it? Well, yeah, sure. Absolutely. You know,
I get it.
Understanding people's valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think one of the things that, that really struck me from Anita Hill's talk, something that's been like sort of present in my thoughts a lot since hearing her. I mean, she talked about a lot of things. She talked about, you know, various ways in which we defeat sexism and sexual violence in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, just her use of the phrase sexual violence was really instructive for me. You know, when
and that includes like verbal stuff.
Well, yeah, because like when we experience behavior or words from people that we, you know, encounter in the world that serve to keep us down, mm-hmm. you know, even if it's not a physical attack, these are things in which these are things that cause a person's life to be less good than it would be otherwise. That's not being very eloquent at all. But
keep
like
going.
when you have to deal with like sexual harassment, even if it's just speech,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a burden that is placed on a person's life that may cause them to not be able to live their life as fully and freely as they could otherwise. You
right.
know, like, you know, if you're in a work situation where you're constantly being harassed by a coworker or a superior.
That's trauma.
Know, It is. It may cause you to have to leave that job where you might have otherwise been able to make more progress in your career and earn more money and be more successful in your life. You know what I mean? These are injuries.
Not to mention the PTSD just from dealing with that experience day to day.
Exactly. And the stress and the health repercussions, you know.
Yeah.
So like, to use the word sexual violence, I think was really instructive. When sexual violence, as it pertains to all of the ways in which sexism actually makes an impact in the lives of victims,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not necessarily just physical, you know. So that was instructive. But one of the things that she talked about that's really stuck with me was the notion that if we're going to ever get to a place where we eliminate sexual violence from our society. Which, my goodness, seems like a massive mountain.
I know, right? And also, like we should be further along in 2019.
Absolutely. But one of the things that she said, if we're going to ever get to a place where we have eliminated sexual violence from our society, we're going to have to not let the small stuff slide, you know? And that was, you know, the small stuff, meaning, like, you're in casual conversation with friends and somebody makes a comment that is sexist in nature, even if it's not directed at anyone in particular. Like, those moments can't slide.
Yeah.
Those of us who have the power in those situations to correct that person, to stop the conversation, call attention to it, like, we need to be doing that.
Silence favors the oppressor. Elie Wiesel.
That's right. So, you know, and I think that those little moments happen a lot.
Yeah.
In our daily lives. And it has stuck with me that, you know, that it's our responsibility to call those out when it's safe for us to do so.
Yeah.
That was one of the, you know, those small moments are just enabling a system to continue to exist that allows for sexual violence to happen, and for people to get on the Supreme Court who've been credibly accused of sexual violence.
Yeah.
It's wild. One more thing that actually stuck out to me from her lecture. She talked about how sexual violence and sexual harassment, sexual assault, at its core, is a civil rights issue,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've been, I'm trying to be careful to use the word people and not women, because it's a people in general are victims of sexual violence,
mostly women.
But she mentioned that, you know, that it's a civil rights issue. She also mentioned that when she got up to testify, in the confirmation hearings for Clarence Thomas, she's like, I wasn't there testifying in order to preserve my own civil rights.
Right.
Like, that's not what that was all about. She wasn't working for Clarence Thomas any longer. That relationship had, you know, that was in her past. It was not like she was fighting for her own civil rights. She was there talking about telling her story because a person who had violated her civil rights was about to become, for a lifetime, appointed to a bench of justices who was going to have power to make decisions for all Americans.
Yeah.
And to be given that kind of power, to be the kind of person whose character would allow himself to treat another human being the way he treated her.
Yeah.
That was the imperative she felt, you know. And that she really put herself in that position in order to try to save the country from having, you know, somebody like that with that kind of lack of character,
yeah,
making really big decisions that affect the lives of millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable. And the blowback that they've, you know, that she's gotten, the blowback that Christine Blasey Ford has gotten, you know, man, they really put themselves on the line.
Yeah.
And are courageous, courageous women. It was really inspiring to be in their presence.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was really cool. It was kind of emotional when Dr. Blasey Ford was introduced. Like, none of us knew she was going to be there. And
you must have been so excited.
It was emotional. Both Courtney and I were like tearing up a little bit. Like, and, you know, and just get to have an opportunity to like stand and applaud her in person.
Yeah, right.
You know, like she did all of us a service. And to be able to be part of a crowd of people thanking her for that was pretty neat, you know? Aww. And same with Anita Hill, you know, and the fact that they that they showed up for each other, you know, in their experience, 3 decades separated from each other.
Yeah.
There's a lot of power in us showing up for one another in that kind of way. And that was really neat also.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Well, right on. Well, what a neat trip.
It was cool.
Yeah, and I'm glad you got to have like a girl date.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It was fun.
Oh, right on. Cool. Should we wrap it?
Sounds good.
Oh, cool. All right on. Well, thanks for talking with me about that stuff.
Yeah.
We've got so much freaking work to do. It's just, you know, it just seems like none of this stuff has gotten better since we were kids. And like
in terms of like the, I think even we had like work to do. I'm like, we do, we've got work.
No, sorry.
You mean like
sorry.
In terms
my
of
mind
sexual...
is still with the conversation with, yeah. this, with this, just like, you know, with women getting treated so much worse than men in our society. It's like,
yeah,
it doesn't seem like it's progressed as much in my lifetime as it should have progressed in my lifetime.
Right.
Like, does this stuff have to take, like, we all know where it needs to go, it seems like.
Right.
Like, why can't it just be there? Why does it have to take 200 years
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know? It feels like it's going to take 200 years.
I know. Well, I mean, like, look back into history. Like, certainly it's taken a lot longer than 200 years to get to even where we are right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The human condition is an interesting thing. And the way in which we treat each other in order to maintain power over one another is really, it's a powerful force.
Yeah.
We need to figure
Shocking.
Out, we need to figure out ways to continually try to chip away at that power structure. We could do so much better. I told you that I was done saying things about the lecture, but there was one more thing that came
yeah,
to mind.
What?
I'm really sorry about that.
No, don't be.
The quote that I actually wrote about this on Facebook the night I got home. She said, Anita Hill said in her lecture that when she was a kid, she was really enthralled with taking, like, if like a toy that she'd been given was broken,
mm-hmm.
she was like really enthralled with like taking it apart and
yeah.
figuring out how to fix it and put it back together.
Aww.
And she's like, things that are broken sometimes need to be completely dismantled.
Hmm.
And then put back together in a way in which they work.
That's a good metaphor.
But it is. I mean, we do. We each need to be part of dismantling. This current system's not working for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to figure out how to tear it down.
Yeah.
And build something that works. And that might sound really scary because, like, the known is sometimes a lot more comfortable, even if the known is unsatisfactory.
Yeah.
You know, than forging towards something better than what we currently
I mean,
have.
Satisfactory for whom? Not so good for women.
That's what I'm saying. Even if the current is unsatisfactory.
Oh, unsatisfactory. Sorry, yeah. I said satisfactory.
The known is sometimes more comfortable,
yeah.
even if it is unsatisfactory.
Yeah.
But we need to start imagining a better way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, my timer's going off. So the reason, people, that the timer is going off on my phone... is that so Shannon, you know, she painted the doors scarlet, right? And so we have these scarlet doors. So we took all the hardware off of our front door. And it really occasioned us to look at what that hardware was. So the handle, super cool, sort of old, probably came with a house, big old brass thing with a patina, really great. And then the lock thing that sits right above it, circular, also brass, also patinaed, old, really cool. And then there's like the mail slot cover, which is just like chintzy, and sort of aluminum and silver colored. And they were kind of like, they were on the door when we got the door. It was like, kind of like, whatever. And like the thing that didn't match was sort of in a blue strip of paint. Everything else was white. So it kind of didn't matter as much. But now that you have this uniform, beautiful door, like the silver thing just wasn't going to work for the mail slot anymore.
Cannot stand.
So we went to the architectural salvage place this afternoon.
That place is so
and
fun.
For $6, miraculously found an older, exactly the same size and dimensions and shape and literally every single thing. The screw holes match to the half of a millimeter,
mm-hmm.
but in brass and made 30 years earlier and twice as solidly. Like, it literally weighs twice as much if you hold one in one hand and one in the other hand as the piece of crap that we are replacing.
But it's totally rusty.
So what we did, at the advice of the woman at the counter, I was like, you know more than this about us. How do you get rust off this thing? She's like, go get a Coke and put it in a pan in the Coke.
Because apparently Coca-Cola... might take the rust off.
Yeah.
And it's
probably not might, probably will.
It's supposed to sit there for a couple of hours before we check it, which is why your timer went off because it's been a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Side note, if Coca-Cola can take rust off of metal, what the heck is it doing to our stomachs when we ingest it?
That can't be good.
It can't be good.
That can't be great, yeah. anyway, that's our little experiment. That's why the timer went off.
Very exciting.
Very, very exciting. Anyway, hey, people, thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. I hope that you have a great rest of your week. Next week is our one-year anniversary of Misfit Stars.
Or as I like to call it, a silver jubilee.
No.
No.
It's not that.
Not that.
So please be
that
sure
good
to
callback, though,
tune
right?
in next week for our one-year anniversary shenanigans.
We should
get balloons and cake.
For ourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Yeah, we should do that.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Cake.
Thanks for those of you who have supported us for the last year.
Yeah.
You helped us get to year one.
That's
Thank
really
you
cool.
so much.
And if you're listening and you are not yet a supporting member, but you like this podcast and you listen to it with some regularity, please become a supporting member. Just go to misfitstars.com/join. It costs $5 a month. If you have $5 a month, do you have $5 a month? That's like 16 cents a day or something. It's ridiculously small.
How could you do that math in your head? I'm impressed.
It may be inaccurate. It sounded impressive when I just said it like that, right? But point being, people, if you have $5 a month and you would like us to have those $5 because you like what we're doing in the world, please just go to misfitstars.com/join and sign up. That's all it is. It's really easy. It's a recurring debit. Like, you don't have to think about it. You do it once, and then it just happens.
And then you're just a member.
And you're just a member. It's no big deal. You get access to the private Facebook group. It's not secret. I just told you about it, but you can't get in unless you become a supporting member.
That's right.
And you can also get
a sticker sheet if you want to at the sticker sheet level of support.
We mailed a sticker sheet out today.
You could get a t-shirt at the t-shirt level of support if you
Ooh.
Want to. They're so cute.
They are really cute.
So come become a star. We would love to have you part of our group, and it really matters. The support that our stars right. offer us with their monthly contributions really actually helps us continue doing this. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it. Love you guys.
We will see you next week. Have a good one.
See you.
Bye.